And good to see you. We are going to start the sugya of Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos means adding on to Shabbos. This is not such a well-known idea. It's something that especially women perform without knowing or sort of knowing. But this idea of adding on to Shabbos. There's this notion, which we'll be discussing in a moment, that there is a mitzvah that we are expected to add on. Shabbos, we know, begins at sunset. Right, once it's sunset, once the sun goes down, even before it gets dark, it is called a safek yom. It's bein hashmashos. It is a doubt as to whether it's night or day, and therefore, halachically, that is already Shabbos. But there is idea of adding on to Shabbos, and that goes both in the beginning of Shabbos, as we'll see, and in the end of Shabbos. Adding on to Shabbos. That's what we're going to be discussing today through the sources. We're not going to finish this topic. It's a large topic. But let's begin. So we're going to begin on page 145, where the sugya, where the topic really begins. From a discussion in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. There's a Braisa. Again, a Braisa is an equivalent, something equivalent to a Mishnah or similar to a Mishnah. The Mishnayos were written by Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Yehuda Hanasi, you know, about, you know, the years 300 or so, or 200 or so. And there were a number of teachings that he did not necessarily include into his body of text, the Mishnah. And they were later codified, and they're known as the Braisas. Braisa of the word bar. In Aramaic means outside. So they didn't make the cut. They didn't make the final cut. And there are the outside teachings, but they're not like considered like bad outside. They're just not as significant as the Mishnayos, but they also carry significance. Sorry, that's just a little bit of a background. If that made no sense, don't worry about it. Let's jump in. We're going to read a little bit about, we're going to read from a Braisa, and it's going to bring it back to our topic. So it says the Braisa in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. Midatanya, from the fact that it taught in a Braisa, V'nisem es nafshosechem betisha. You should afflict your soul on the ninth day. What is this referring to? When do you afflict your soul on the ninth day? Yom Kippur. Now, what day of the month is Yom Kippur? The 10th. So what does this mean that you afflict your soul? The pasuk, the verse says in Vayikra, you should afflict your soul on the ninth day. So yachol betisha. So the Braisa says that you would think that it's from the ninth day. The verse says you should afflict your soul on the ninth day, meaning that you should not only fast and have all the restrictions on the 10th day, but you should do so on the ninth as well. Tamalomar be'erev. But the verse says in the evening, that it's not on the ninth day, it's in the evening. So the evening of the ninth is the 10th, right? Meaning the night after the ninth is the 10th. So says the Gemara, Iba erev, if you take that just simply on its own in the evening, yachol misha techshach, you would think this means only when it gets dark, okay, meaning when it's already the ninth, tamalomer betisha, but the verse says the ninth, right? So there's something strange in this verse. On the one hand, it says Yom Kippur begins in the evening of the ninth, meaning the night after the ninth, and yet it also says the ninth day, right? Haketzad. How do you reconcile these two statements? On the one hand, we know Tisha B'Av is on the 10th day. At the same time, it says that you should fast on the 9th. It says you should afflict yourself on the 9th in the evening. So if it just literally means after the 9th, then that's already the 10th, right? So by saying the 9th as well, something's going on over here. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Maschil u'mis'ane mibe'od yom. We are obligated to begin and start fasting while it's still day. In other words, although the fast, you know, you look in the Ma'izmanim or whatever, the calendar, and it says the fast begins at, you know, whatever time, the Gemara is telling us, no, you need to start while it's still a little bit day. Melamed shemosifin michol al-kodesh. We learn from here that we add on from the weekday onto the sacred, that we're obligated to add on. Ainly, now the next paragraph, the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues. Ainly ela bichnisaso. So from here we only learn on the way into Yom Kippur, that on the ninth, we're supposed to add a little bit. Do we have a source? Is there any indication that on the way out, meaning at the end of Yom Kippur, we're also supposed to add? Tamalomar me erev ad erev. There's this verse which says, from evening till evening. And that verse is kind of extra. Okay, so the idea is that we learn from this verse without getting into the entire, you know, how they interpreted from this verse. But the point is that there's some extra teaching about the evening, meaning the night of Yom Kippur, meaning Motzei Yom Kippur. And we learn from there that there is this idea of Tosefes from the word Hosafa, like Musaf, added, something added, both in the beginning of Yom Kippur as well as at the end of Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara concludes, Ainli Elo Yom HaKippurim. We only see from here, from this verse about Yom Kippur, Shabbosos Minayin. Do we have any source for Shabbos? or any time that there is a rest, meaning Shabbos and Yom Tov, from Shabbos, Tamalomar Tishbisu, the verse about Yom Kippur adds an extra word, which has no other meaning, which is you should rest, but the word that he uses is Shabbos, right? And so the Gemara learns from here, infers from here, that this principle of adding on Yom Kippur applies not only Yom Kippur, but on Shabbos as well. Yomim Tovim Minayin, where do we have a source for Yom Tov as well? Tamalomar Shabbatchem. There's an extra word that says Shabbatchem. Again, idea of rest. Haketzad. How does this work? The Gemara concludes, Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Shvus. Anytime that there is a requirement to rest, any holy day, not Chanukah, not Purim, but any day that we are required to abstain from melacha, from work, Mosifin Michol Al Kodesh, we are obligated to add on from the weekday to the holy. Fascinating. Okay? There's an obligation. According to the simple read that we just read over here, seems to imply that it's a biblical obligation to add on to Shabbos and to Yom Tov. Yes?
Is this biblical, or is this what we call
a smachta? Correct. So this is a big debate. It's a machlokas. There is a whole debate about whether everyone seems to agree that Yom Kippur, it's midoraisa, it's biblical. And the question is, the other ones, about Shabbos and Yom Tov, is that rabbinic or biblical? It's a debate. Many commentators understand that it's, you know, what Yael's getting at is that whenever we find verses discussed in the Mishnah and Brisos and Gemaras, sometimes the verse is really seen as the source, and sometimes it is called an asmachta. Asmachta means like a support. A support is like, different ways of understanding this, but the bottom line is that it's not necessarily the source, but it's kind of like a hint, an allusion to it, and therefore it has a lower level obligation. It's rabbinic, but there's a verse that kind of hints to it, reminds us of it, but it's not a biblical source. Over here, it's a big debate. We're not going to get into it fully, but I'm actually going to skip a few pages because it's a little bit involved in the source they brought down over here. Don't do justice to the topic. The bottom line is it is a debate. Many commentators understanding that it is indeed biblical to add on to Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are some sources that say when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, it is rabbinic. Yes?
So that's why we're supposed to bench minutes.
Ah, exactly. Right. So before everyone loses their mind and says, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in my whole life. You, women, actually are in a much better place with this than men, as we'll see. Because women, ideally, I know it doesn't happen always, I'm sure in some houses, it doesn't always happen. You're always writing 18 minutes before. But ideally, you're lighting candles before Shabbos, right? And that the whole idea of lighting candles before Shabbos is from this is where it comes from. It comes from this idea of Tosefes Shabbos, of adding on to Shabbos. That's exactly it. With men, it's much more complicated. We're not going to get it there today, but with men, we touched upon this in earlier classes. How do men accept Shabbos upon themselves? At the end of Lechadodi or Mizmor Shul Yom HaShabbos. I don't know about most minyanim over here, certainly, by the time we get to that tefillah, it's way past sunset. So we, actually, for men, this is much more complicated. For most men, it's much more complicated. But for women, this is the source of lighting candles early. We're jumping ahead of ourselves, but that's where it comes from, okay?
So we don't light candles early on Yom Tov.
That's true. That's true. Some do. Some do. Well, second day you don't. There's no notion of adding because it's Kodesh to Kodesh. It wouldn't make, there's nothing to do on the second day. But let's go through the sources and then we'll see the different. We'll come back to this. Okay. Not the source for 72 minutes. 72 minutes would mean, so this is actually an interesting thing. 72 minutes is meaning they believe, they are that, when you say 72 minutes or 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 72 minutes means that's when Shabbos ends to them, right? So in theory, you might be better off finishing in the earlier time and adding 5 minutes than waiting 72 minutes and saying Abdullah read at 72 minutes. Potentially, okay? But it is the source, as we'll see in a minute. We'll see another custom that is when we think about it, it's interesting. Let's turn to page 148. Let's turn to 148. Says the Shulchan Aruch, source 7. I know we skipped a lot, but it's let's just skip it. Okay, source number 7. This is the Shulchan Aruch codifying what we just learned in the Gemara. Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Shetzarech lahosif michol ala kodesh, that we are obligated to add from weekday on to the holy. As you notice, he says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say. Why does he say there are those who say? Because again, as we just mentioned, it's a bit of a debate if this is applicable according to all on Shabbos and Yom Tov biblically, but many understand that it is indeed an obligation for both Shabbos and Yom Tov, not just for Yom Kippur. Yes? It's complicated. It's complicated. If you want to go back and look through the earlier sources over here, it might help. There are different opinions, but the bottom line is the conclusion, if I may, is that many say it's midaraisa, some say it's midarabanan. There is some debate about maybe not existing at all. Yeah, okay. Says the Magen Avram, source number 8, Shetzarech Lahosif. Magen Avram is one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Vavei mitzvas asei midaraisa. It is a biblical mitzvah. It is a biblical mitzvah. And as much as you don't eat mida milk, that's a biblical mitzvah. It is a biblical mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, right? Do you eat mida milk? You don't eat mida milk? This should be, in your mind, just as important. Okay, it's not for many people, but that's when we say it's mitzvah d'oraisa. This is on exactly the same level. Okay, one more source just to give you one other custom that is done. Source 9, ma'acharin tfilas arvis. We delay davening marv. Have you ever wondered why it is? I know many women don't daven marv. Most women don't daven marv, but in almost every shul, when do they daven marv on Saturday nights on Matzei Shabbos? After Shabbos, they daven marv when Shabbos is over. It's weird, right? Why do you do that, right? Meaning, during the week, we daven marv here right after sunset, right? And on Shabbos, we daven marv at nightfall. At nightfall, Shabbos is already over. Technically, we could have daven marv for a good 40 plus minutes before, right? Why are we doing that? It's a way of adding on to Shabbos, right? It's a way of ensuring that by the time Avdal is made, we finished, you know, we delayed finishing Shabbos. And that's why Marav is started after Shabbos. There's always like minyanim where people are like, what? I remember in Pickwick, there was always the minyan that daven like right before Shabbos is over. You could technically, there's no problem davening Marav before Shabbos is over, but there is a value in davening after Shabbos is over because then you have a built-in add-on to Shabbos. That's where this comes from. Yes. You could say Atachanan Tan after Plag Mincha.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's where it comes from. Everyone still with me? I'm getting some funny here. Yeah, bottom line is, there is a biblical mitzvah, according to most commentators, not all, but according to most commentators, there's a biblical mitzvah adding on to Shabbos and Yom Tov before it begins, after it begins. We haven't yet described what this add-on looks like. You know, is it a full-fledged, does it mean that Shabbos actually starts when we start early? Does it mean that it's still Shabbos at the end? We haven't discussed how do you add on. You know, again, lighting candles certainly works, but are there other ways of adding on? So we're going to get, and how long do you have to add on? All those are things I hope to cover today. Yes. The reason is, I mean, not the source that we're going to see today, but the idea, you know, the simplest idea is that it's a sign of endearment, right? If something's important to you, right? You know, if it's something begrudging, you do it at the last possible moment. If you're so excited about something, right? You show up early, right? I don't want to miss it. I want to be here. I want it to, you know, that's the simplest understanding that it's a sign of endearment. It's something important to us. I want to, you know, you don't show up for an important meeting just as the meeting starts, right? You want to show that you're excited, and also leaving, it's the same thing, right? If you're running out as soon as it's done, right? It's like Matzei Shabbos, the people like running out the door as soon as it's over. It's like it's pasnish, right? It shows like I don't want to be here, right? I need to go. So it shows that it's hard for me, you know. Kasha alai pridaschem, the Torah uses it elsewhere. It's difficult to say goodbye. It's difficult to say goodbye. Okay, so let's now go a little bit further into the sources. Look at page 149. Interesting question over here, and that is that when we add on, okay, so we're obligated to add on. Does that make it that it's now Shabbos? Like, I added on. Is it now that it's actually Shabbos, or is it just that I'm prohibited to do work, right? You see, you could kind of split up add on in two ways. One is like, is it a partial add on, or is it a complete add on? So let's see something.
Can make it tonight when you're lighting candles that you're going to drive to shul afterwards, then it can't be.
Well, there you're not accepting Shabbos at all. Meaning, when you light if you're lighting candles early, good important point you brought up. If I light candles early and I say I'm not accepting Shabbos, I did not do Tosefet Shabbos. All I did was fulfill my mitzvah of Hadlakos Neros, but I didn't accept Shabbos early. Right? The question is, when I light Shabbos candles regular, did I just accept Shabbos fully or not? Okay. So there's a Mishnah in Psachim. If you look on Source 10, page 149, Erev Psachim. Samach leMincha, on the eve of Pesach, close to Mincha, like around Mincha time, lo yochal adam ad shetechshach. A person should not eat matzah until it's dark, or that's the way it's going. You shouldn't eat until it's dark, excuse me, okay? Shouldn't eat until it's dark. Okay, so says Rashi, source 11, lo yochal, you shouldn't eat. Kidei sheyochal matzah shal mitzvah l'te'avon, mishom hidr mitzvah. So don't eat until it's dark. Why? Because you want to have an appetite for eating the matzah. So far, so good. Let's get to Tosfos. Look at source 12. Says Tosfos, source 12, ad shetechshach makshinan. They ask, we ask, amai itzrich ad shetechshach? Why does it say that until dark? Pshita. It would seem to be obvious. The ode, he asks further, when it talks about starting Shabbos and Yom Tov, it doesn't say anything about starting after dark. So v'omer harimik korbil, okay, so Rav Yitzchak of Korbil answers, degabe matzah davka be'inan ad shetechshach. When it comes to eating matzah, you are obligated to wait, meaning matzah on Pesach night, you're obligated to wait until it gets dark, until it's nightfall, to eat the matzah. Kidetanya b'tosefta ha-pesach u-matzah u-marar mitzvasan mishetechshach. Okay, that when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvos of Pesach, meaning matzah, marar, and according to many, actually Kiddush as well, the mitzvah is only when it gets dark. V'tayma mishum dechsiv v'achlu es ha-basar b'layla hazeh u-matzah u-marar yiskashu l'pesach. Okay, so the verse in Shemos tells us that you are obligated to eat the meat, meaning the Korban Pesach, at night specifically, and matzah and marar are all juxtaposed, they all have the same halachos, and therefore when it comes to eating matzah, you are obligated to wait until nightfall. Here's the key, here's why we're learning this. Next lines. Aval suda Shabbos v'yamtiv mot matzi achaluhu mi ba'od yom. But when it comes to eating the Shabbos meal, you are allowed to eat it while it's still day. Kida amar beperek tefilas ha-shachar, as it says in Meseches Brachos, mispal adam shol Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, you are allowed to daven Shabbos early on Friday, v'omer kiddush hayom mi ba'od yom, and you're allowed to say kiddush while it's still daylight. So Tosfos over here is distinguishing. He's saying when it comes to Pesach, and we have the mitzvah of matzah, there we're obligated to do so at night specifically, right? But when it comes to Shabbos meals, making the mitzvah kiddush, which is a mitzvah only to be done on Shabbos, right? You can't make kiddush on Friday morning, right? It has to be done on Shabbos. Says Tosfos, you could fulfill your obligation even while it's still day. We'll have to see how early, but the bottom line is that we're learning over here, Tosfos is telling us clearly, is that if I accept Shabbos early, it's full-fledged Shabbos. It's not only that I can't do work, and we know this because I imagine everyone here makes early Shabbos from time to time, right? In the summer, many of us all make early Shabbos, and what are we doing? We're making kiddush while it's still day. Right? So this is the source for this. This is the source because there's this question. Hey, maybe I have to wait by Pesach. I have to wait till night. Maybe there's no difference between Pesach and Shabbos. The answer is they're arguing over here. No, there's a difference. There is a difference that with Pesach, I have to fulfill my obligation after nightfall. Okay? There, the mitzvos of the day start only when it's full-fledged night. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, I could fulfill my mitzvah of having my Yom Tov meal and my Shabbos meal and making Kiddush and all that while it's still day.
Not all Yom Tov, not Shavuos.
Wait till dark for Shavuot. It's a minhag. It's a strong minhag to wait till night.
You don't have to count.
It's a strong minhag. I'm not going to say you're fully obligated. It's a strong minhag. We do that, but it's. But yes, you're right. Shavuot, the minhag is to wait until nightfall for external reasons, but technically be able to fulfill your meal, your mitzvah. If you made kiddush before, you certainly fulfilled your obligation. Okay. Everyone with me? Questions? Good? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, if you look at source 16, turn to page 151. I know we're skipping around a lot, I apologize. If you look at source 16, there are contradictory statements in Tosfos. It's another place where Tosfos seems to indicate that you do have to wait until nightfall in order to fulfill the mitzvos of the day. Okay? We know on Shabbos there's a mitzvah of kiddush. There's a mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos. And so the Magen Avram, again, commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, on page 151, source 16, writes, Kasuv Bishla. B'shem Sefer Chassidim, okay, so the Shla writes in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, D'mikol makom, that even if you start your meal early, nonetheless, Tzarech Lechol Kezayis Belayla, you have to make sure to eat a kezayis of bread, about the size of a golf ball or a matchbox, you know, basically this size of bread, after it already gets dark, Kedei Lekayim Gimel Sudos B'Shabbos, in order to fulfill having three meals on Shabbos itself. Okay, v'chein kasva bach simen tuf ayin beis b'shem Maharal mi Prag. Okay, but this is also the Bach, one of the commentators, Maharal mi Prag says this. Aval b'tosos v'rash, but from Tosos and the Rash, mashma D'yachal ligmar ha-se'uda mi-ba'od yom. From these other sources, like the Tosos we just saw, and the Rush, they imply that you could finish the meal even while it's still day. V'chein kasva truma sadeshen, v'chein mashma b'reinu yerucham, v'tayma da'achar plaga mincha chashiv laila. Okay, because once it's plaga mincha, which is a time which we'll come back to in a moment what that means, but as soon as it's already, even well before sunset, you already have, it's already considered evening according to some. Nonetheless, it's ideal to be strict. So the Magen Avraham basically brings down different opinions. Some saying you could finish your meal, right? Summertime, there's nothing better. You know, you finish, you're done your meal. You're like walking outside. People are still driving home from work, whatever it is, and you're completely done your meal. There's certainly what's to rely upon to do so. However, there are opinions who say, no, you could start your meal early, but you have to make sure to at least have some bread after nightfall in order to fulfill your mitzvah of having three meals, right? You're supposed to have a meal while it's still night. He says there's certainly what to rely upon to finish before. Ideally, we should be stringent. Okay? Yes. Sorry? Has to be, it should be bread because that's for the suda. Yeah. Okay. With me? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's just turn the page to source 17. He's just going to explain this a little bit more. Says the Mishnah Berurah. It says the Mishnah Berurah, source 17. Hatam, the reason for this is, Dekiva and Dekiba love Shabbos, Vehosef Michol al Kodesh. Once a person accepts Shabbos upon themselves, and they accept from the weekday, Nechshav kishabbos, it's considered like Shabbos, l'inyan zeh, Diyachol l'kadesh v'lechol miyad, you should be able to make Kiddush and eat right away. V'yuchal ligmar sudas mod yom, and you should be able to finish your meal while it's still fully day. V'yeshcholkin, there are those who argue. V'sovrim shizar limshoch sudasa delayla, there are those who argue and that you should make sure to extend your meal until nighttime. V'yochal kazayis belaylan, you should eat a kazayis of bread at night. V'taimam, what's the reason? Dekivan da gimel sudas yofinam madichsiv achluhu hayom ki shabbos hayom lashem. We learn the source for eating three meals from a verse that speaks about having the meals while it's still the day of Shabbos, meaning specifically that day. Be'inan shikaim osam biyom Shabbos atzmo. There are those who learn that although you can make kiddush early, you have to have your meals on the day itself. Fine. Ideally, we should be careful. Now, very often, if you started your meal, you made early Shabbos, depends how long your meals are, but very often it's going to extend into nightfall. Not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Depends on how early you're making Shabbos. It doesn't always have to be that way, but oftentimes this will happen on its own. So again, there's certainly what to rely upon to finish your meal before. He's saying ideally a person should try, if possible, to extend their meal to eat a kazayis after nightfall. Okay? Any questions?
A
kazayis of bread, correct, because that's what is needed. You know, meaning if you don't eat anything and all you have is a kazayis of bread, that is what's needed to fulfill the meal. Like to have like three times, like, what? Yeah, a kazayis of bread.
Bread is normally even beginning.
Yeah, so you have like, you know, save a little for the end of the meal before you bench. Some people have a minhag in general to have like a little bit of bread. Well, you don't have to, but before you bench. But yeah, it would be specifically bread. Yes. Most people don't. Yeah, you're saying
unless you're
Hasidus, right.
Comes in really
handy. Right. You're saying we're strict for this opinion, meaning the strict opinion who says you have to eat after nightfall will also be the same opinion that says you should start.
Well, I think most people. I mean, we're more makel on the beginning of Shabbos than we are on the end of Shabbos. We don't say that you can just expect.
Correct. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah, I hear you. I hear. Not sure. Need to look into that. You're right. Okay. Yes.
Why are we being strict about the bread and not the kiddush?
So that's what the Mishnah Berurah was getting into, is because since the words around the meal are specifically used the word hayom, so some sources learn from there that there is a unique obligation, that there's no notion of adding on. The fact that it emphasizes it has to be done on the day implies that you don't have the ability to stretch Shabbos, to start Shabbos early. Rather, had that verse not been mentioned, it'd be true for everything. You light candles, you make kiddush, you have meals. But when it comes to the meal, it says something about hayom, and therefore when it comes to the bread, that's why it's limited to the day, or at least it has to be found within the actual 24 hours of Shabbos. But when it comes to everything else that is not limited by that verse, by that pasuk, you'd be allowed to stretch it earlier, and that's why you make kiddush or light candles prior. Okay? Good? So again, we're learning this idea of Tosefa Shabbos, supposed to add on to Shabbos. What we're seeing over here is that when I add on to Shabbos, if I started Shabbos, it's full-fledged Shabbos. Not only am I forbidden, is it prohibited to do work, I could start my Shabbos meal. Again, I think many of us know this, but we're just seeing this through the sources because, again, we all do this when we make early Shabbos, okay? The question is, how much time, now we're going to get into, how much time do I need to add in order to fulfill this idea of extra adding on to Shabbos or to Yom Tov? How much time is needed, okay? Well, we saw that it's both in the beginning and it's supposed to be at the end.
Now the discussion is going to be how much time
it's going to be focused on the beginning. It's going to be focused on the beginning. Yeah, yeah.
We, you said something about 24 hours of Shabbos, but we actually keep
25. 25, that is correct.
Is that the discussion?
No. So Shki, according to most opinions, right, when the reason we start Shabbos at sunset is because it's a Safek Yom. We're not sure if it's day or night. And therefore, according to most opinions, that's not adding. That's Shabbos itself. That's Shabbos itself. Okay, so let's see. So Tosfos in source 18 writes, okay, Rabbi Akiva, Mishum desagi b'tosefes mashahu. He says addition of just a little bit is sufficient, okay? Which makes life a lot easier, right? You're rushing before Shabbos. How much time do you have to start Shabbos early? Right? And that would be true on the back end as well, on adding just a little bit. How much is a little bit? So he doesn't quote the source over here, but if you look at the yellow box? Peach. Thank you. That was better. Although no specific amount of time is given, some poskim such as Rav Tzvi Fromer and Moshe Feinstein suggest that 2 minutes is required. Others such as Rav Bornstein hold that 4 minutes is necessary. Okay, others say even 30 minutes before nightfall. Bottom line is, Tosfos says just a little bit. You certainly have what to rely upon to add just 2 minutes. 4 minutes is, you know, is Rav Moshe. But let's turn the page to source 21 on page 154. And this is, again, going back, we're just now bringing ourselves back to this notion of lighting early. So if you look at source 21, to give praise to those who have the custom, those who are sensitive to the opinion of the Yoreim, Shabena Shmashos Maslo Gimlo Rive Mila Kodamashkia. Okay. Vilimana Mimalacha Lipachos 20 Estrim Dakot Kodamashkia. That the ideal custom is to start 20 minutes before. Okay, those who add 30 minutes, kodesh mashkia ashri lo, praiseworthy are they. There are those who say it's a half hour. And the truth is, in Israel, there are varying customs which are longer than the normative American custom. The normative American custom, based on a whole different factor, is not 20 minutes, but is 18 minutes. But in Israel, many people, there are different cities in Israel have different customs of how early. It's very confusing sometimes. Different cities of Israel, they'll light, you know, in Tzfat, it's like pretty, if I remember correctly, it's like 30 minutes that many people are lighting before. In Yerushalayim, some people light even earlier. But the bottom line is that the American custom, the European custom developed to 18 minutes, and this is where it comes from. It comes from this idea of Tosefa Shabbos that we're trying to add onto Shabbos. If you missed 18 minutes, not all or nothing, any amount that you add is ideal. To light on the buzzer, you shouldn't, right? You shouldn't. So sometimes I have 18 minutes still running around. It happens, right? But at the very least, we should try to make sure we're lighting 2 minutes before in order, A, because you're like flirting with danger. You know, it might be sun. It might be your watch might be off. You might be lighting past, you know, when it's already sunset. But more importantly, for our discussion, you want to make sure you're adding on to Shabbos. And therefore, lighting at least 2 minutes early would be necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of adding on to Shabbos. Good.
So once you've taken on the minhag, let's say, or like an early before Shabbos, whatever, even 15 minutes, do you have to do that every week, or do you have to...
I don't believe anyone ever accepted that they are always lighting at that time. I believe people accept to try to light at that time. Is that fair, I think? Is that a fair assumption? Meaning, yeah, the minhag, you know, is to... Yeah, so I don't know if anyone, like, I mean, does anyone have, like, I am always lighting? I don't think anyone's ever said that. People, we try,
well,
right?
Well, they made, like, when the war started, to add on time, you know, each week to...
Right, so if a person went out of their way to say, I am going to light at this time, that's a minhag. That gets into a complicated, you know, probably a tarsin dar, depends what was said. A tarsin dar might be needed. But generally, the fact that people, let's say, newlywed, you know, start lighting 18 minutes because there's like nothing going on in their life and they were able to light 18 minutes and like, oh, all of a sudden, like a few months later, like life turned upside down and now they're not able to, like, that wasn't a minhag. They tried. Like, everyone tries. Who doesn't want to light at 18 minutes? Just practically, it doesn't always happen. Things come up. So, yeah. Sorry? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
What was the dominant minhag in Europe?
It's not. It seems like 20 minutes was the dominant minhag, or 20 minutes or 18 minutes was the dominant minhag. There's a machlokas about how to calculate the discussion about traveling a certain amount of distance, and so the question was how they calculated that time. Some opinions were it was 20 minutes, some were 18. I can't say definitively, but it seems like 18-20 was the minhag. But there were many places that were doing a half hour in Europe.
So it was. So like, because it seems like, because this is a relatively new thing, because Yerushalayim is fairly new, right, that people are living there.
Well, there are people living there since the, you know, for a few hundred, you know.
It's still relatively.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the history of it and I don't know. I'm not sure. Not Yerushalayim, I'm saying I don't know all the different customs about when lighting developed. But yeah, there were different places that had different customs. Okay, yes. Ah, good. So I don't know if we're going to get to it today. We're probably not going to get to it today. But it's much more complicated. Women are much better. The notion of lighting Shabbos candles early puts you in a much better place for that. With men, it's much more complicated. And we'll go through it quickly. I don't think we have time today. But we'll try to go through that quickly as well. Okay. So the question though is, and this is very important and not so well known. People make this mistake a lot. So we said you're supposed to add on to Shabbos. The question is, how much can I start Shabbos today? Unless you are from the Ishbitz, not Ishbitz. What's her name?
The ones who make Havdalah on Tuesday?
Yeah.
That's
the screen. Amshanov. No, Stalin doesn't make Havdalah. Amshanov. There's an Amshanov, a Rebbe in Beit Vagan, who basically finishes Shabbos. You can like see videos of him like davening Maariv at like 2 in the afternoon on Sunday, like they, whatever. I don't know. No one asks questions because he's like really holy man. And so everyone just like leaves him alone, but basically no one understands how that works. But for most normal, most of us, the rest of human beings, you cannot start Shabbos too early, right? Everyone agrees you can't start Shabbos on Thursday, right? Certainly on Sunday, right? So how early can you start Shabbos? You can't start Shabbos while it's still the daytime. You could only start Shabbos. Let's see the Or HaChaim. Look at the Raman, source 22. Vimrotze lahaktim lekabel of Shabbos. If you want to go early and accept Shabbos, miplag hamincha ve'elach harshus biado. From plag hamincha. What is plag hamincha? Without unpacking it, but if you go into like myzmanim.com or wherever you get your zmanim, whenever you get your times for different things, myzmanim.com is a nice and easy one. Just type in your zip code and it'll give you all the zmanim for the day. There's something called plag hamincha. Plag hamincha is basically their sunset, where the sun goes down. Plag hamincha is a time... depends on the day, but it's somewhere between like an hour and a quarter to 2 hours or so before sunset, okay? And according to one opinion in the Gemara, it's already considered night, okay? Is it night? The sun's out, but the sun's already starting to go down enough, and in that time is called plag hamincha, okay? You cannot start Shabbos before that time. Okay, so it's important that sometimes people, they want to accept Shabbos early, and they go ahead and accept it like whenever they want. It's convenient to do it at 6 o'clock. It's not always plag hamincha at 6 o'clock. Sometimes in the summer, you have to make sure that you're actually only starting Shabbos after that time. Okay, so it's just important that before you accept early Shabbos, if you're doing it on your own, that you want to make sure that that it's past this time called plag hamincha. Because if it's earlier, you didn't accept Shabbos. You lit candles. Those candles, you didn't really fulfill the mitzvah. You made kiddush, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, okay? Has to be at least considered evening, at least according to the most lenient opinion, but if it's not evening at all, according to everyone, you wouldn't fulfill your mitzvah at that time, okay? Look at source 23. Im kibel alava Shabbos kodem plag hamincha. If you accepted upon yourself Shabbos before plag hamincha, ein bekabalaso klum. There is nothing to the acceptance. Im kibel al atzma l'shem tosefes Shabbos ad shav revia k'shkon meshkia. Okay, if one accepted upon themselves to Shabbos for an hour and a quarter, meaning halachic hour and a quarter, i.e. plag hamincha before, yesh lahachmir shlulas malacha, you should not do any malacha at that point. Bottom line is if you accept upon yourself, to take Shabbos on before it's plag hamincha, you did not actually start Shabbos. Okay, yes. The lighting should be after. Yeah. Technically, if the lights were lit, it's the same question. If you walk into a house, the lights are lit. We saw it earlier, like, you turn your lights on. Did you fulfill your...
That was the intent of, like, okay, I'm getting ready for Shabbos. I have really long candles. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be lit after Shabbos. They should be lit after plag hamincha. Okay. So how does this... So far we've seen this idea, you're obligated to add on to Shabbos. How do you do so? So again, women, the easiest way to do it is you light Shabbos candles. Are there other methods? Okay? Can you do it in another way? The answer is yes. Let's turn the page to 157. So here we have two opinions. Okay? So first the Ramah. The Ramah writes in source 27, Va'ayin le'el simen taf kuf nun gimel dim kibel belev lo have kabbalah. If a person accepted in their heart, that is not enough to be seen as a full-fledged acceptance. That is one opinion. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah in source 28, we'll see different opinions. Va'bach kasav tahave kabbalah, that acceptance in one's heart is a mental acceptance, is an acceptance. V'chein hiskim hagra b've'uro, and the gra agrees to this. Okay, source 29. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchaso lays out the different opinions. Kabbalah Shabbos v'yom tov ena al yedei prishim lacha gereda. It is not enough just to stop doing work. Elihi nasis al yedei dibor. There should be speech. Hainusha omer bepeh. Person should say verbally shemekabel alavis haShabbos. Again, if you lit candles, you're good to go. But let's say for those of us, me, who doesn't light candles, I'm supposed to say I'm accepting Shabbos right now. Okay, va'amnam gam im lo hotzi b'sfasav. He says, however, even if I didn't say it, elorah gamar belibo lekabel as a Shabbos, a person just thought to accept Shabbos. Harizu lo kabbalat is an acceptance to that person. V'yifrosh atzmo mikol malacha asur, and the person should cease to do any malacha, any work at all. Okay, so basically, the Shabbos Kolchas is saying, ideally, you should say, I'm accepting Shabbos. If you don't do so, just thinking, I'm accepting Shabbos in my head, that is sufficient. You know, there are people who are very careful on Erev Shabbos not to say good Shabbos, right? They'll say, you ever see that? Someone say good Shabbos, someone, and they'll be like, Guten Erev Shabbos. Like, okay, what are you doing? That what they're doing is that by saying good Shabbos, some argue that they've accepted Shabbos upon themselves. If you don't do that, don't do that. Don't drive yourself crazy. It certainly wasn't your intent to do that, but some people are strict about that because that's the verbal acceptance of Shabbos. Okay, whatever. Some people have that stringency. That doing so would be an acceptance of Shabbos. Yes.
But if it's before plug,
it's certainly not an issue, right? 100%. Saying Guten Erev Shabbos before plug is ignorant. You know what I'm saying? It's like trying to be strict, but you're not. Like, you're right. You can't do anything before plug a mincha. You're absolutely right. Yes.
Sometimes when the men are going to shul and they take a Shabbos, but they leave, I'm like, well, I don't want to take a Shabbos.
Is your intent to accept Shabbos? No, it's like hi. That's how you say hi on Shabbos. Or from Friday morning, from Thursday through Shabbos, you say hi by saying good Shabbos, right? If your intent is to accept Shabbos, you're saying good Shabbos. I get it. There are those who are strict. I just come on. You're saying hello. Yes.
When you light candles, you're really accepting Shabbos for everybody else.
We'll see. Right. Yes. Good. So I'm gonna leave on a cliffhanger because we're not gonna have a chance. That is like the next topic. We're not gonna get a chance to get into today. But that we touched upon it a little bit. But how does this work? Right. The person lighting certainly is accepting Shabbos themselves. How does that affect everyone else? And vice versa. Right. The other side, meaning, and this happens with early Shabbos. And really, if you look at the next, let's go look. So I'm not gonna answer it today. Sorry, you're gonna all have to come back. Look at source 30. Hamispalot tefila Shabbos ba'odiyom. Someone who davens while it's still day. Meaning, making early Shabbos. O omer mi ba'od yom ha'piyut bo'i v'shalom. They say the last line of Lecha Dodi, right? Bo'i v'shalom ha'teres bala. We say, welcome, Shabbos. O mizmor shil yom ha'Shabbos. Or they say the next chapter, right after Lecha Dodi, which is mizmor shil yom ha'Shabbos. It's a tefillah that is only said on Shabbos. Turn the page. Shechol b'Shabbos. Harezu kabbalah Shabbos. That is the acceptance of Shabbos. Even if they're not explicitly saying they're accepting Shabbos, that is a form of accepting Shabbos. So you just asked what happens if the woman of the house lights the candles, how does that affect everyone else? But sometimes the opposite happens. A man goes to shul, let's say, and he davens Kabbalah Shabbos, and he gets to Lecha Dodi or Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. How does that affect everyone back at home? Okay? We're not going to answer that today. But basically, those are different ways of accepting Shabbos early, okay? So let's pause here. Let's quickly summarize. Bottom line is that we have, there's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'orais. It's a biblical mitzvah, according to many, that we must add on to Shabbos at the beginning and at the end, okay? So the bare minimum is to add 2 minutes 4 minutes ideally. Women have the custom, many women have the custom of lighting Shabbos candles 18 minutes. That is the normative custom, I'd say, here in America to light 18 minutes early. We strive to do that at the very least to add on 2 minutes, and certainly at the end to add on 2 or 4 minutes is totally sufficient, right? So all the kids who are sitting in my house, who are sitting there waiting at the counter, the oven light, you know, whatever thing is switched, turn on the lights or whatever, check the scores or whatever it might be. Ideally, we really should be waiting. Not ideally, it's really a mitzvah to add on at the very least 2 minutes. Not so well known, right? Everyone knows about the beginning of Shabbos, but the idea of adding on at the end is really, according to many, a mitzvah d'oraisa. We really should be waiting an extra, at the very least, 2 minutes at the end of Shabbos. That's point number one. How do you accept it? Lighting candles is the most straightforward way, right? Alternatively, ideally, as many pointed out, as many of the poskim say, to say it verbally, I'm accepting Shabbos upon myself. Alternatively, to do so mentally, to think about it, say in my head, that also suffices, okay? Or to say a tefillah that is unique to Shabbos, like Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, okay? We haven't yet discussed what happens to everyone else in the home, but one thing I'll just mention, we're not going to read it inside because this is not as relevant, but I'll just, this question of davening mincha, okay? So we're going to skip this part inside, but it was asked, for men, Tosefes Shabbos actually is much more complicated. I daven mincha 5 minutes after sunset. So by the time I finish mincha, which is a daytime activity, a Friday activity, it's usually, past sunset. So did I ever fulfill Tosefes Shabbos in my life? It's a fair question. And according to some, I have not. Because according to some, and some shuls are very careful, to daven mincha well before Shabbos starts, and they start Kabbalah Shabbos before sunset for this reason, okay? If I would start Shabbos, mincha 25 minutes before, 30 minutes before sunset, I would lose my job, okay? Because who in the world has time to go early on a Shabbos in the winter to come to shul? It's crazy. I mean, it's very difficult. And so many people do not daven Shabbos early, Friday, mincha early. And what they rely upon is one of two things. They rely upon either the cessation of work alone is sufficient. So once I come to shul, I'm usually not doing any malacha, right? I'm davening mincha. I'm not. So even though mincha is a Friday activity, and it's a little bit of like a contradiction, because on the one hand, I'm doing a Friday activity. At the same time, I stopped working. I'm not doing any malacha, and I'm just davening. And therefore, according to some, that's sufficient. Even though until now we saw, ideally you should say it verbally, or you should think it. But there are those who say that simply not working is sufficient, and that is what some rely upon. There is an opinion, I think it was brought up earlier, once it's sunset, that maybe, since we're not, the idea of not working from sunset and on, everyone agrees you can't do it, but some say you fulfill the idea of Tosefes Shabbos by not working from sunset and on, since it's not necessarily full-fledged Shabbos because it's only a doubt, and by me not working at that point, I fulfill my obligation of adding on to Shabbos. Neither of those are fully ideal, and really ideally, in an ideal world, mincha should start early. Practically, it's not so common, it's not so practical, and therefore many places do not do that. Okay. Any questions? I don't think we learned. Yeah, any questions? So again, probably the biggest takeaway is to add on to Shabbos at the end of Shabbos. Very important that we don't always do. That's probably the most practical takeaway, and we'll pick up on what to do with early Shabbos, wife lighting, husband lighting, etc. And asking someone else. So big question comes up, the same type of thing. I accept Shabbos early. My neighbor didn't. What am I allowed to do with them? Can they help me? Can they not help me? Happens all the time. We'll pick up next week. Sorry for finishing early. I apologize.